Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Monday, and I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. So excited that you are with us today. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Blasting the studios out. Pat's hair standing on end. Yes, the producer of VFN Radio is with us today to be able to make sure that we laugh at least once every 30 minutes. Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And also, the one and only, nearest to Nemo of all of us, is John Ramos.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing? What's going on?
Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. Oh, my goodness. Run. Run for your lives. The Pharisees are coming. The Pharisees are coming. Run. Run. They're ruthless. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. Exciting days are ahead. Realize that if you are a person caught in your sin, if you are a person who is bound and is crying out for a Savior, there is one. Jesus, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Listen, it was the religious folks that dogged out Mary, but it was Jesus that loved her, and we tell her story today. Listen, God is in love with the sinner. It's the religious folk that ain't in love with us. God forgives us. His grace is new every morning. He forgave Pat. We got so much wonderful praise reports today. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me on VFN Radio today to bring you hope, to tell you you can be the one who writes about it, not the one who reads about it. You can be on the front lines. And the producer of today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Monday. It is Monday. You know what? I'm just so tired of religious folks, you know what I'm saying, that bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose. And it's like, come on, dude. Listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks. And come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah.
A lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But, you know, you can't, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
Right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Crazy. You imagine, I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, if anything that I've been, you know, in my life, and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah. You know, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another
one again? You know, I just took the nail out of your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as they, at the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. You know, he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his Joseph, his a dream and say, in a dream. He had to say, because he couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news is always there. And he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life. And they take off and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed through in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, got it. I prayed last night, and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead and quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream, and he said, listen, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, And it's like, and then you start thinking about it. I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And, who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin, but I gotta say the way he responded, when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them
full of dead man's bones.
Dead man's bones. Mm-hmm. You're saying that you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And my goodness, it's just like, I think, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer you're a sheep. You're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're not a sheep because you said, Hail Mary, full of grace. We're not going to talk about the Pope today. But or you said, forgive me, and I want you to be my savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, in other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not whether we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated us based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people, what was in their heart. Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen. Don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, ma'am. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than to be the one that's standing up around Jesus who is seated down criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus' way of using finance, if you would, in the ministry right there. But then he separates, he takes all the goats, he takes all the goats, and he says, listen, you're going to go, because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not, and the fruit doesn't save us, but it determines, it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people. And it's amazing, in the name of God, how evil people can be. And the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, dear God, he said, my bones are wasted away. He says, I feel so isolated and alone, and even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened? You know what? He was the man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And then how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering. It doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself. You're going to stand before God, no witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like these things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just watch all this and live vicariously through others instead of, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in His will, this is what I want to do for Him. I want to be able to be fruitful for Him. I want to be the sheep that stands before His throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, and then he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing. When people have just a limited amount of talents, they can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know, am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, whew, my goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that He's just expecting us to do, be faithful to what He's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God's said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says, the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read. It's the same thing. I mean, are you going to talk about parties and you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her? And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister or your brother, you wouldn't know about that.
No.
You just kind of go, nuh-uh, right? Nuh-uh. Well, she did, or well, he did. It's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. Yeah. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something, even if we die doing it. And I tell you, I got so much on my heart. I don't know if you could tell that. Can you tell that I got so much on my heart?
A little bit.
I'll be poured out by Friday. I don't know. But I want to encourage you. Listen, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. You know, and I just look at past generations, and they had such guts. And they had such, you know, there was ones who didn't, but we're here today because of those who had guts and who, you know, no guts, no glory, no testimony of what God has done in our lives. And this generation, man, it's like we don't even have guts to have kids. Mm. We're having fewer kids than any past generation, And we're about to be snuffed out as a population, as a country, just because we don't have guts to have a kid. And it takes guts to have kids. But, you know, but it's like, hey, it's worth this. What God, it's like, when I was looking, I was flipping channels this weekend, and I saw a segment of the movie Glory. And I was watching, this is the Civil War taking place, and they're fighting at Fort, I don't know, it was Murray or something like that, Murphy. And there was this black platoon, African-American, I don't know if it's called platoon or brigade or whatever they were. And they just used this platoon for manual labor. They didn't go put them on the front lines and stuff. And I can't think of the actor's name. They'll come to me. Who?
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel Washington and Brad. Anyway, it'll come up. And their sergeant. I don't know who their sergeant was. But, and so their sergeant was a white man. And he was like, this has got to stop. You know, these men want to fight for this country.
Matthew Broderick.
Wow.
And he said, we got to fight for this country. I mean, they want to fight for this country. They wanted to get in there and fight, you know? And I'm thinking, dude, where is that spirit today? You know?
Right.
And it was just so cool. And they were being ridiculed by their very own soldiers from the North but every race was fighting for this freedom of freeing, economic slavery, all these secessions, what they called them. They were fighting the secessioners, you know, from the South. And they finally, you know, Matthew Broderick went in there and he basically told the general, it is just like every generation. I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he says, well, I could go tell the boss man, which is the president of everything. I could tell him that you've been funneling all this cotton out and selling it to people from the South. I can tell him you're making all this money underhand, all this kind of stuff. Or you can let us go fight. You know, and he goes, I think I'm going to go let you go fight. And it's like, is every generation evil? Anyway, even the ones fighting for, that's right. So finally they go and they go fight this battle. Mm-hmm. They go fight this battle. And the way they fought war back then is like, oh my
insane.
God. Okay, line up and get shot.
You know? Exactly. Right.
You squat down and get shot, and I'll stand over you and get shot. Right. And whoever is left will win. This is great.
I'm like, foxhole was a good invention.
Yeah. You know, and then we had the trench battles, you know, that came later on. But the thing about it is like, this isn't that long ago that's how we fought battles, you know. And so now we have a drone that just flies over there. Anyway, won't go there. And so they fought this battle, and they fired, because it's muskets, right? And so they loaded their guns, and they fired their first shot, and these Southern soldiers took off, and they were shot and defeated. Like they were defeated, and they went. And they're just standing there with their guns. You know, I'm thinking, like, I'm yelling at the TV, reload, reload.
Hurry up.
Reload. You only got one shot, bro. Reload that puppy, right? And then finally, they had, of course, obviously some sort of strategy, because another flank from the South started coming up against them. Then Matthew starts going, reload. I'm like, dude, that's a little late, you know? So they're shoving. And the first time they shot, it was like everybody shot at the same time. Next time, he's like, just shoot at your own free will, bro. He's like, shoot. And anyway, long story short, they lost less people than the other ones. And so they won. No, they won that battle. And I believe there was a flag that was flying, which was beautiful because that was the first African-American brigade that stood up for America that was allowed to stand up. Many wanted to, but they stood up, and it broke all the racial barriers in the military at that particular point. But the most, I want to tell you what happened when we get back from this break, but it was so powerful when they started coming up against this fort. And I'm going to find the name of the fort so I can tell you what it is, what they did. I mean, I was just in tears watching this thing. We were right back in this break. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24/7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights
and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Listen, no matter what it looks like, God is preparing for himself a people. You know, there's some people, think about this. There's some people that just, when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth and revealing the Father to everybody that was with him, some people said, he's going to steal my people. He's God. He's giving you breath. They're not your people. They're his people. Secondly, you know, some people said, you know, I know him. I'm going to receive from him. But they stayed where they were. But there's some people who said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to say what you said. This is the difference. Because the first crew, unless they repented, they're never going to be with them. And that was their choice. Second crew, that they're going to, you know, be with him forever. But the people that went with Jesus, the people that, if you want to listen, the people that go with him, that follow him, are the ones that write the books. And the ones who chose to stay, read the books. Why don't you be one of the ones that write the books? We need a whole new literature in Jesus. We need new moves of God. We need you to believe God can move in your life, and you journal down what he's doing, so the next generation will not be lost. Because only 4% of the young people in the world right now believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. You're going to have to wake up and be a part of it. Listen, there's not going to be any books to read. If you don't walk with Jesus, somebody is going to have to walk with him and begin to write the awesome miracles and signs and wonders and the awesomeness of his splendor. And, you know, we're seeing beautiful things take place. It's like, it's so cool when you don't have to imagine what it would be like when you read the Bible. Mm-hmm. You just verify. That's God, because it's happening in your very presence. Isn't that true?
Yeah,
so it's true. You know, with that, of course, comes the fear of the Lord, because God's, the closer God gets, the more magnified, you know, sin gets. So you got to get the sin out of your life. But let me tell you what, there is a way to do that. You can remedy that at the cross, you know. So I just want to encourage you, you know, that be the ones that write the books. I'm not talking about, you know, write a book. I mean, you can just live a book. You know, realize that people will just look at you and read you. Mm-hmm. And they'll read, you're an epistle. You are my epistle, what Paul said, you know, and so understanding that. And it's just so exciting. Listen, you know, every generation is meant to walk with Jesus, but it's a choice. It's a choice. Welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. You know, we were just talking about Glory, the movie Glory. It's about the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry. And they were formed, I believe, in 1862, in this war that they were going on. I was just talking about, which is so powerful. Realize at this point, they've already made a name for themselves, that they're willing to fight for this country. They're willing to hold the flag up. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in boot camp, you had a flag bearer, and they would march in front of the infantry, and they would always hold the flag. No matter what, they were flag bearers. And you would carry guns, for example, but they would carry the flag. Mm. And that's what's happening here. You have people that were holding, you know, African-Americans that were holding the American flag up, while other African-Americans, and but that was their whole troop. It was all African-American except for Matthew Broderick and his lieutenant or whatever. And they're actually playing characters that they're playing real people. Wow. Colonel Shaw, I think it was Colonel Shaw, was one of them they were playing, but also Morgan Freeman was in the movie as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was just so powerful. So here they are. They finally are going to have to go confront the South at this particular Fort Wagner. And they've been up for 2 days now. You know, Matthew Broderick's, the 54th, has been up for, the 54th Infantry, Volunteer Infantry, Massachusetts Infantry, has been up for 2 days. And they tell the leader at that point, they said, listen, you know, we'll be the ones. In other words, the tip of the spear. We'll be the front ones. And I have to, as I was looking up, I realized, hey, I was watching the TV version of this, so I don't know what the actual version may be like. But I encourage you to get ClearPlay, clearplay.com, and you actually can, it can be like the TV version, because it was not bad
in regards to language and how they nobody used God's name in vain, the part I was watching. And here they are, and this is history, though. This is history. And I'm watching them. He goes up and he says, listen, we want to be the ones. We want to be basically the tip of the spear. We want to be the first infantry to go in, and everybody would be behind them. And Fort Wagner was your old fort type situation where they have cannons on the wall and shooters on the wall. And they were, and Fort Wagner's on the beach. It's in South Carolina. And they have to, they, if the, whoever, the whole infantry has to be able to march in the sand. I can't even, I was out this week and I was on, in the, on the beach. I can't even hardly walk in the sand. I can imagine carrying a gun and a wool uniform, you know, and all your stuff on you and marching in the sand.
Right.
Maybe we would be in better shape. Right. As a matter of fact, Steve said something about running down the beach. We'll talk about that later on. And so then the, and so here they are. They said, okay. He said, you've been up for 2 days. You guys, he said, listen, we can do this thing. And so Matthew had such great confidence. And they wanted to, this is what I got from it. You know, what they were portraying is we want to have a part in history. We're not looking at how tomorrow will be. We just want tomorrow to be different. And we're willing to give our lives for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just with the birth rate in America, we're not willing to give our lives for our children. It takes 2.1 children per average woman to be able to maintain a population, and we're dropping below that.
Mm-hmm. Per average family, you mean?
Yeah. Huh? Nope. It's a one average woman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's average woman. And so with that, the so here they are. They said, we'll do it. He says, okay. And they let him do it. So then they went back and got some rest, and they got prepared and all that. And so they come out the next day. And so you imagine these guys, the ranks are probably shoulder to shoulder, about maybe 20 wide, and maybe, I don't know how many, it would, it probably would tell you if you just look it up, but it was, I would say, maybe 500 deep, something like that, maybe maybe 1,000 deep, just huge, huge infantry, and it just looked like a lot. And this is 1863 now. They're facing Fort Morgan in South Carolina, or Fort Wagner in Morris Allen, South Carolina, and they look at each other. And this is what you got to do. I mean, you're fixing to do it. We did this since I was a deputy. We'd all the time. I was like, I guess we're going in, right? I would call the police, but they'd send me. Anyway, so the there'd be a record that I'm gone. No. Right. The and so they look at each other, and this is the moment that they lived. They wanted to be able to fight for it. And there was so many different things. I didn't see the whole most part of them seeing. And all of a sudden, you know, they just said, you know, Matthew, he got off his horse, because at that time the sergeants would wear horses or whatever, or lieutenants would. And he wanted to be down on the ground with the troops. And he got in the very front of them. Matthew got in the very front of them, maybe 10 feet, 20 feet ahead of them. And then he basically didn't say charge, but just said, let's go. And he said, at a steady pace. And that's where you're moving at a steady pace as a whole troop. And then finally it was like cannons started going off, and this, they would hit the sand. It would blow all over them. And basically he said, you know, run, not run, but something in military terms that means a quick pace or something. And they just started, in the midst of fire, bullets are flying over their head, and they're charging right in the face of racism and slavery and all this. What the heck are you thinking down south at that time? And for the freedom, and for the freedom of people that have been, you know, held captive for economic gain and all this stuff that's been going on, and they're just going right at it, and I'm just weeping. Man, these tears are just pouring on my face, and I think, man, these guys, this 54th, Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, they were willing to give their lives. They were marching against cannons and forts, and there was others behind them, but they were way, I mean, they literally made it to a bank in the sand. They made it to the bank, and this is in the daytime, mind you, and lost all kinds of their troops in the process of that. And they're laying basically on the other side of a dune, sand dune. And they said, okay, we're going to stay here till night. It's like, there is no here. I mean, you're on a sand dune. Well, you know what sand dunes are. It's like you can shoot through a sand dune almost, especially with a cannon.
Right.
And it was just like, I was just the whole time, man, I'm just weeping, thinking, where are these brave men and women? Where are, where, who is in this generation that we're going to stand up for what's right? You know, willing to, you're not ready to live for nothing until you're willing to die for something. And so many people gave their life for this country. And during the Civil War, you know, men and women of every color, you know, they gave their life so we could be free to have this freedom that's going on. They marched in the face of that stronghold in this country. And they just marched to this fort, and all of a sudden, you know, when the night hit, they just started charging this fort, and just body after body after body was just, they were getting taken down, taken down, taken down. And all of a sudden, of course, Matthew, the lieutenant, stands up, or captain, whatever his rank is, and he gets shot, you know, and then all of them. And then Matthew rolls down onto the sand dune, and then these other ones, and you think, oh, my gosh. Because yeah, Americans make movies, and it ends with, you know, the hero comes in like Rambo or something. And
right.
But this is true history. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is over, and they did not take Fort Wagner. They didn't take Fort Wagner, and so they have everybody's bodies are like lined up side by side, and they're stacking the bodies up, and they pick up Matthew's body, and they dropped him into this wide open grave, and he rolled down there, and he's on his back. And then this other African American soldier that he really struggled with in his ranks, who was coming from all this abuse, and it was hard to really trust anybody because all the damage was done to him. And as he came through this whole emotional understanding, wait a minute, everybody's not the same, and he ended up fighting for the cause. Mm-hmm. Then they dropped his body, and then he rolled right up under Matthew's arm. And so you had these two guys that gave their life. Wow. Gave their lives, you know. I'm literally just weeping, man, thinking like, where is this generation? Where are these people? It was so beautiful. You know, and you can't even get the church to step outside of the walls of a what? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we can't even get Americans to have babies. You know, we can't even, it's like, what if we, that's just, I was just so awestruck. And I literally, I'm just weeping and just thinking, I'm thinking about the men that they represented. I'm thinking about, you know, that these were volunteers that volunteered. They wouldn't say, what's the pay? Am I going to get educated after this? Are you going to give me a college education?
Right. Some benefits?
Some benefits. Right. Am I going to be able to go to the exchange and buy my groceries for cheaper? Am I going to get medical after this?
Yeah.
I mean, they just volunteered for what was right. Mm. You know, and even the North that supposedly was fighting for what's right, there was racism in the North, and the soldiers who were fighting for the freedom of the slaves in the South, they were racist. A lot of those guys was racist. And the way they treated soldiers and the way they talked about them, because it's more than, it was economic finances. That's what they were doing. They were making money off of enslaving a people. Mm-hmm. And so it was about money and wealth and that type of thing. Anyway, I'm not going there. And so I was just like so moved. And then I almost felt so unworthy to be watching that, because I'm thinking like, we're just such a shame. Our generation is such, who are we? We can't even... It's just amazing. We can't even get somebody to go tell somebody about Jesus. Mm. You know, it's like, I'm not even worthy to be watching just a picture of what these guys did to be able to free us where we are today, to be where we're able to have this freedom today that we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really feel that. I was like, oh my goodness. Dear God, forgive us. Lord, make us men and women of integrity and character, that we get on the same side, you know, and fight for the same cause. And realize that there's a lot of things America has not done by choice that, hey, God may be doing by force. And that, you know, if it's of God and it's what God would want how us to treat each other, then let it be. You know, let whatever we need to do things right. But know this, that the people that's in our, and that we're standing on their shoulders. I like what, you know, some people recently said, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. The sad thing is that we're sitting on their shoulders. We're not standing on nobody's shoulders. Yeah. We're sitting. We're like just living off these blessings and not even being willing to pass them on to the next generation. We don't even see the next generation. Wow. We don't even, there is no projection. Listen, if we won't even have a baby, if we think marriage and children and families an inconvenience, then we're not even thinking about, because that's all about the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all about the next generation. Mm-hmm. And if it's not about that, what's there to fight for? You know, the people that have these little stickers on the back of their whatever traveling vehicles say, I'm spending my children's inheritance. It's like, that's what America's doing. We're literally spending our children's future today.
Mm-hmm.
With $16, $17 trillion in debt. Mm. And we just won't go. It's like, oh my goodness. But it was powerful. I encourage you, if you're going to see, I saw a TV version of it, but as I was looking it up, as I told you, I was going to look it up, and it looks like it, obviously war is ugly. And if we just look at war how it really is, then we would avoid it.
Right.
If we don't look at it how it really is, then we'll do it again and go, well, this is bad. Let's don't do that again. Then we'll cover it up and we'll do it again because we forgot what it was like.
Yeah.
But there is ClearPlay. You can go to clearplay.com or go to the VFN torch at VFNTV.com and just type in ClearPlay. We have some stuff on there. And what happens is you take this movie Glory and you put it in that, and you can pick what you don't want to play, and it will somehow remove it, and it doesn't even affect the movie. It just goes away, and you can actually view some history without being offended in your spirit. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I mean,
it's just beautiful. John, I didn't even feel worthy to be watching it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because, these African-Americans that were playing that, they weren't looking for a movie part. I mean, Denzel and Morgan Freeman, these guys, they weren't looking. They were wanting to be a part of history.
Yeah.
You know, like the ladies that played Coretta and Malcolm X's wife, you know, they were wanting to be a part of history.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to act out those that have gone before them, and you could tell it. You could just tell it. And it was just like, oh, man.
I believe he actually won an Oscar for that. Denzel Washington won. That's the first I think it was only like the second African-American to win an Oscar for that. But I think he actually won an Oscar for that performance. So it's amazing. It's amazing. You look at what people were willing to give their lives for. The generations past, you look at that and you realize that they truly understood that life was about leaving something behind. It wasn't about taking everything and sucking up all the natural resources for you, but that your life had to mean something. And it was an honor to actually die in battle and doing something good. That was an honor.
That's how we got here, because people were willing to die, for us to be able to live.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes you want to go back and just say, wow, But I believe that there's hope. I believe that as we continue to talk and share, like we're doing,
that's why we're here, right?
Radio. Yeah, that's why we're doing it. I mean, that's why we're sharing that this generation is going to rise up. I mean, this generation is going to stand on the front lines and be willing to lay our lives down. I mean, Jesus said, listen, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be with me, you got to deny yourself. You got to pick up your cross and you got to follow me.
Exactly.
He was clear in his expectation, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is that. This is our time. This is our, and listen, I mean, life is but a vapor. We're here today and tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? It's over with. Life is so short. It's one of the things that I was able to really understand as I did a chaplainship in Louisiana, LSU hospital. I got to see so many people that were living their lives every day, going, to and fro on vacation. And
I remember that, yeah.
Remember that experience? It's like, my goodness, they were going to Mexico on vacation and their daughter flew out the window of an SUV.
My goodness.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Oh, wow. It was like, this person was having a party and then all of a sudden this person got shot. And it's like, that's why they call it an accident, an unfortunate situation. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't really planned. And you got to see how short life really is. And it's amazing that when tragedy like that hits, you start realizing that whatever plans you were going to do, whatever was going to happen that weekend, nothing else really matters at that point, because someone suffered a tremendous loss. And we don't want to look at yesterday and just say, oh, or look at the future and say, one of them's going to get old. You got to look back and say, I'm going to seize the opportunity of a lifetime right now. I'm not going to let this pass by, but I'm going to do something in my generation for God, and I'm going to lay it all down for him. We'll be right back.
It's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar,
for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, it makes me think about what we're talking about. You know, you got to hear, if you missed it, you've got to hear what happened today in the first and the extra hour. You know, time is short, but it's short in regards to making a change.
That's right.
You know, we can make a change, or it's short in regards to somebody else making a change and we're living with it. But, you know, I think about this. There was this couple, John, there was this couple that had this child. And this child never talked. You know, most children kind of go, what? They begin like, ga-ga, goo-goo, something like that, right? Right? Is that right?
Or feed me.
Well, later on, yeah, it's like,
feed me.
No, and then you know, so they took the child to the doctors, you know, and the doctor says everything seems all right, everything's okay. And so they waited, maybe they just needed some more time, and so the child grew older, you know, this toddler, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and he's like, you know, he's still not talking. He's still not talking. And so they just think, well, I guess he just doesn't talk. You know, and then he got around 6 years old and he still hasn't said a word. Hasn't said a word. And they finally take him to another doctor. Just listen, check him out. Make sure, you know, and they said, we looked him over. He has everything. He has all the parts. I mean, everything's there. I don't know why he's not talking, but he could talk. I mean, he has the thing. I mean, everything's there. And so on his 7th birthday, his mama fixed him breakfast, and his dad was in there reading the newspaper in the kitchen. And she puts his breakfast in front of him. And this kid that hasn't talked up until 7 years.
Seven.
Who has all these parts to talk. He goes, Mama, this toast is burnt like the devil. And so with that, the parents are like just jumping around and celebrating, and they're just so happy. They're just exhilarated that, oh, our son can talk. He can talk. We thought he couldn't talk, but he can talk. And they're just, oh, they're just how happy. And then all of a sudden they came to a certain point. They began to wonder, And so they looked at him. If you can talk, son, if you can talk, why didn't you say something? He said, up to now, everything's been okay. And let me tell you something. This is the church. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. That is so true. Right now in America, up to now, everything's been okay. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But all of a sudden, things aren't okay no more. It's like, we got to start talking. We got to start talking. Sort of like the minister that spoke at the prayer breakfast that we played last week. You know, he bought his mama those 2 birds. And she says, you know, why didn't they say something? Because she ate them. And he says, that's what's going to happen to us if we don't say something, you know. That's so, so important. There's so many things going on.
Yeah, that was good.
I was just talking just earlier part of the Civil War and things that were taking place, and watching the movie, part of the movie Glory. And that was just so taken by it. And, you know, there's one thing about history that we find out that quite often we're doomed to repeat history if we don't learn from it. And since the beginning of time, it doesn't seem like we learned a lot of things. But I'm looking at it right now,
You know, CBN News reports that a push for tougher gun controls is sparking an ammo shortage. As a matter of fact, listen up. You're gonna believe what's happening in America right now. Police officers can't even get the ammunition they need to be able to do their job. Listen up.
Well, as the debate over gun control continues, increased demand and price hikes on ammunition are leading to a nationwide shortage.
Law enforcement officers across the country say the types of ammo they need to do their job are getting harder and harder to find. Andrea Garrett has more.
Local police departments are having a hard time finding bullets to fill their guns. Some worry it could lead to a dangerous shortage that could affect the way law enforcement agents do their jobs.
We were issued a box a month so that we could go practice on our own. We no longer get that simply because the ammo's not there for it.
40 caliber bullets of the kind most often used in police training. A 50-round box used to cost about $30. But in the wake of the Newtown, Connecticut shooting, demand is up, which means suppliers are raising prices as well.
Along with these tragic incidents that happen, the fear of what's going to happen with the government comes into play, and then people react to that.
And increased prices aren't the only concern. Some agencies are placing orders for ammo and being forced to wait months for it to arrive.
I think as long as the gun control issue is dominating the media and dominating our country right now, it's going to get worse. The rounds will be fewer to find.
Andrea Garrett, CBN News.
It's amazing when you think about it. Can you imagine, like, okay, there's a bank robbery going on. We're going to go stop this bank robbery. He says, well, I just ordered second day delivery from Amazon.
Wow.
Six bullets. I'm hoping they get here before we get to the bank. The police officers can't even get, are not being able to get the in a sense, which is totally a whole nother viewpoint. It's like, you know, people are wanting gun control. Not everybody, just a few folks are wanting gun control. They just happen to have a big mic and a big podium. Right. It's like, but yeah, we call the police because they have guns and they're going to defend us and, you know, protect us and work with us. You know, we have a right to defend ourselves, and they come out and support us as the officers that we are empowering our sheriffs, who we elect to be in the office to work to work with us. And, but now, because of everybody's concern, and this is not a good sign when all your citizens are buying guns and bullets and stuff, not bullets, but ammunition. By the way, when you say bullet, you're talking about that little thing on the front of the
cartridge.
That's the bullet. So you say bullet, it's actually the gunpowder, the casement, and the bullet in the front of it. And so, It's just not a good sign. It makes me think about, you know, when I saw that the part of the movie Glory, and that's what happened. That, you know, America was divided, and President Abraham Lincoln was the president during that time, and it's just amazing the things that he probably went through as a human being, trying to manage that in addition to his own personal losses and all. And it's like we survived that. That's just amazing. That literally the America had the Hatfields and McCoys, and we didn't know how I was going to come out. And Abraham Lincoln, we got to revisit our history so we don't repeat it.
Yeah.
But when he's having a Gettysburg Address, he just was able to bring sanity to all Americans and value to all Americans and look beyond, you know, ignorance and just say, listen, you know, we can hold these states together. And it's like, wow, that's just amazing to me, you know. And it wasn't the isolationist, you know, mentality and all that. And think about that. It's all those years since, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, America was able to survive that. And of course, he didn't. You know, he paid a huge price for that. And think about it.
Mm.
You know what he gave his life for. You know, we're still living off of today.
That's right.
You know, and just like the ones that I'm talking about in the 54th Massachusetts 54th Volunteer Infantry, that they gave their lives. Think about this. I'm going to go fight the people who want to enslave me. And because what they're doing is wrong, to free up all Americans. And then you die fighting them, and then they're over your body. The disposal of your body is like, this is not going to be good. I don't think, you know, they're going to honor our fellow Americans and all that. And it's just like, it was just another, I'm thinking like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't win that battle. But what they did win, I didn't say this, is that they broke the mindset of American generals. And that what they said, you know, we're going to integrate the armed forces. We're all fighting men. We all can fight for the cause. And they didn't die in vain because they're fighting for a cause, period. But also, they broke all those mindsets to where, listen, we can fight side by side. Everybody's a man. That's everybody's right. Important. And so they were actually breaking even the mindsets that had to be broken in the North there. And it's just, this, you know, if you get a chance, you know, make sure you have a clear play when you watch it or watch a TV version of it. But because I just want to look it up, wasn't so hot. Think about it, though. So there is a shortage of ammunition in America. I mean, America has a shortage of ammunition. Did you know that China just surpassed America, according to CBN News, just surpassed America in exports?
Really?
Our economy's much larger, but they just surpassed America in exports.
Wow.
And it's like we're not creating anything outside of us. We're not building things outside
not
of us.
Not making anything.
We're not having babies outside of us. We're not doing anything outside of us. It's all about us. And it just every, you know, they had the same situation in Japan where in the 80s that people started saying, listen, the way success of Japan, everybody's going to start have to, if you want to do business in the future, you got to learn Japanese. But the Japanese quit having babies. They quit having babies. There's a report right now. There's a book out. I'm thinking the name of it is What to Expect When America's Not Expecting. Talking about babies, something like that. Wow. Just came out fresh. We'll talk more about that. But what in Japan was, if you interview young boys today in Japan, some of them, I forget the numbers of as large, they said if they're repulsed at the idea of marrying a Japanese woman, period. Just getting married, period. But they're repulsed. It's like, this is what this guy reports in his book. And it's like the whole concept of getting together with your wife or husband and being married. And by the way, the church has messed up marriage so bad that we're having all these seminars how to gratify yourself in a marriage versus, you know, Malachi plainly says the purpose of you two becoming one flesh is to bear godly offspring. To be able to have children and raise them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And now it's just like, hey, you know, how do I, you know, it's all about the me thing. And so they're saying that it's just the whole concept of these beautiful Japanese women that these young teenage boys are being interviewed, and there's the whole idea of it is negative to them, you know? And it's like, this is the downfall of our culture. We got to realize that, you know, when we don't love each other anymore, and the thing is, so many things, and we'll talk about this in the extra hour today, and I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, is that the digital realm and the virtual world is not real, but it's replacing reality. What was probably going on in Japan with these young teenage boys and all that is that they're getting their needs met virtually. They're having relationships with things that aren't real.
Right.
That doesn't argue with them or give them a difficult time or, you know, whatever. And it's given them a false sense of fulfillment. But what happens is it ends with that generation. It's like Satan's evil. Every paradigm that this Isaiah talks about him, that he was thrown from heaven, and we're going to look at him and say, you caused all this dilemma? You know, that's what he's causing the lies that we're believing.
Right.
And, but yeah, that's coming up soon. What to Expect When We're Not Expecting. I believe that's the name of the book. It just came out this week, maybe. And America's not expecting. I'm not expecting much anything for the next generation. And it's just shocking to see what's taking place. We have to begin to deal with, and we're going to talk about it in the extra hour, you know, what about this virtual world? What about this digital world? And what about, you know, is it real? I feel real, and these type of things. We gotta figure out how we're gonna respond to it before it literally takes over all of our natural responses in a counterfeit way.
But we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.